I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now, we have been going through this letter of John, and I realized as we were going through it that he spends an awful lot of time in this letter talking about love. You can almost call it a love letter. You could say that this is a love letter from John. Not that he's expressing love to us, although he has done that. He's talking about why love is so important for you and I in our lives. And he's going to continue on. I've mentioned to you, he's in three different parts of the scripture. John has talked about loving each other. And, of course, we looked at the third part, the beginning of the third part, last time we were in this passage. We're in the second part now. And there's so much here, I've got to do a third part. Because he really wants us to understand the whole issue of love. And you're like, okay, George, great, I love. I understand love, but I don't think we do. Because connected with the whole issue of love is the person of the Holy Spirit. Now you say, okay, that's interesting, George. Yeah, I know the Holy Spirit. I know about the Holy Spirit. I know that when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I believe that the Holy Spirit entered into my life. Do we all believe that? The very instant you came to Christ, the Spirit of God entered into your life. But that's kind of it. Maybe you're aware that God's Spirit gifts you with certain gifts to be used for the church, to benefit the church, to build up the church. Maybe you know that. Some of you don't, but maybe some of you do. But as far as it affecting your everyday life, most of us, can I be very honest with you, don't really grasp that meaning. The meaning of God's Spirit being within you. How do you know that, George? Well, because we say things like this. So I do this sometimes too. When we're in the midst of a difficulty or struggle, the anxiety levels are pretty high in our lives, we're fearful. It is very, very common, you probably have uttered it, God, where are you? Do you even know what's going on in my life? Now, to be honest with you, the answer to that question is, where is he? He's within you. But we've forgotten it. Number two, is he aware of what's going on in your life? He knows everything about you. I just quoted to you a section of Psalm 139 where he says, even before I utter, you know what I'm about to say. God knows everything, even before you speak. And so there is something here for you and I to understand today about the presence of love in your life, the presence of love through a person, through God himself. And that's what we're going to focus on. We're just going to look at five verses today. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16. Here's what John writes. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him. He in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, before we look at these verses, before I break it up into three sections, I want you to think about one common word that he keeps using in this passage. It's the word abide. Do you guys know what that word means? It means to remain. It means to have some sort of relationship. It actually is a relationship word that is very intimate. It's that same word, abide, that we get the word abode. Remember that from high school when you were reading something from Shakespeare or something? It's an old English word talking about the abode, like the abode of God. Or, you know, if you come down to Anderson Avenue here, down to the seventh house along the creek, you'll come to the abode of George and Lori Cannon. It's our home. So it's a word meaning someone who is intimately engaged with us. So for instance, abide is what married couples do, right? They abide together. They have an intimate relationship with each other. So what he's going to tell you and I is this. He's, again, stressing that importance of loving each other, but he's going to talk to you that ability to love comes from God, because that's one of the first things we struggle with. Okay, I know I'm supposed to love people and I'm supposed to love those irritating people that I meet with, but how can I do that? You can do that because God fills you with his presence, which is being filled with love. So let's look at it together, okay? So first thing, he's going to talk about seeing God, okay? Verse 12, he's going to talk about seeing God, and he's going to tell us something very obvious. All of us knows this, okay? In fact, that's part of our struggle. I'll tell you why it's a struggle here in a moment. Here it is. Look what he says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Three things I want you to see here. First of all, no one has ever seen God physically. I think we're all aware of that, right? Scriptures reinforce that going all the way back to Exodus 33, verse 20. Here is what is recorded. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. That's God speaking. Jehovah, Yahweh, to the people of Israel. Now, why is it that we can't see him, George, and live? Well, the problem is he is so perfect and so holy. The problem is you're not. You and I are what? Sinful people, right? So we can't see God the Father. Here's the other point that comes right out of John's gospel. John is the one who's writing this letter. John's gospel, in the first chapter, verse 18, he says this, no one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So we can't see the Father, John is saying, but the Father has made someone who is at his side, who is God, appear to us, show up in our lives. We know who that is, right? Jesus, right? So that's the first thing, all right? So if we're talking about seeing God, what I need you to see is that no one has ever seen God physically. Now, you say, but that's where the problem is, isn't it, George? Because I can't see him, and I understand that when we see Jesus, we see him, but the problem is I can't see Jesus either. We're almost 2,000 years later now. And I struggle, and sometimes I need something tangible when I'm going through, because my world is chaos right now. You ever had a week like that? Where your world is chaos and you want something tangible, and you're pouring your heart out to God, and you're like, oh, God, can you even let me know that you are hearing me? Just a simple request. Just let me know you're hearing me. And it's so real to us that we don't see him. Well, here's what John writes in this letter that I think is going to be encouraging to you and I. He says this, God lives in us, and his presence is revealed in our love. God lives in us. We can't see him. But to be honest with you, at this point, it's actually far better that I don't see him, right? That's the point that Jesus was making in the upper room discord. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send another comforter to you. And that comforter, the Holy Spirit, is going to come and he will be in you. So it's even better than Jesus being there, because let's be honest. Let's say, okay, so Jesus had 12 disciples. There are numbers of many others, at least 70 at one point, more than that. And did everybody have at the same time an interaction with Jesus? No. Could everybody touch him? No. It's on an individual basis. So because of that, some people couldn't connect with him immediately. But here's the thing. Jesus says, I'm going away, and for your sakes, I'm sending another comforter, another helper, someone who will come alongside of you, and he'll be in you. So while we don't have the physical Jesus, we have the Spirit, his Spirit living inside of each one of us. So he gives personal attention to each one of us at the same time. Okay, so let me help you to grasp that point I'm making, okay? All right. I want you to think about your week. I want you to think about what's going on. Some of you had wonderful Christmas celebrations. You're looking forward to the New Year's and celebration with more family. That's where Lori and I are at. We're going to be getting with our kids again and friends and so forth. And so there's positive things. Well, some of you, this hasn't necessarily been a good time. It hasn't necessarily been a good week. You know, maybe it was something that came in the mailbox and you're like, oh my goodness, why is this happening? Or it's maybe, like something happened with your vehicle and like, oh, I don't need that expense right now. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe if this is the time of year when companies, I don't know why they choose this time of year, but they will give you a pink slip. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, oh my goodness, we're going into winter and I got to heat the house and now I don't have a job. Or this is also the time when people go into depression, people face medical issues. This is where we're at. And so we kind of wonder, okay, God, are you there? Are you aware? And what he's saying to you and I is if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, listen to what he says here. Look at verse 12. If we love one another, God abides, okay? God abides, okay, remember that word abode. God abides. He's in an intimate relationship with you. Abides in us, and his love is perfected in you. The Spirit of God is within you. So the things that you're experiencing, the fears, the anxiety, the anger, some of you it's anger. He knows exactly how you're feeling because he's feeling it with you. That's the presence of God. And the ability then to love is because he's in us. It's because he's in us. You know, I've said this many times through the years. I'll say it to you again. I'll be honest with you. There are ways that I can tell if you're spending time in God's Word and if you are interacting with Him. And you can do the same with me. Look at how, let's use me. Look at how I'm treating people. If love doesn't flow out of me, I can tell you right now, I must not have had some time with Jesus that day. Or that week. But what flows out of me is a critical, angry, whatever spirit. I haven't connected with the one who's within me. In fact, probably you could say, George, Are you quenching the Spirit? Think about now, it's out of us that love flows out because of the relationship of God within us, the Spirit. Now do you understand the whole issue of quenching? Are you quenching the Spirit with something in your life? Are you grieving the Spirit? Now, why would he be grieved? Because he's with you and you're doing whatever and you know it's wrong. You grieve him. God lives in us. We got to grasp that point. It's not something abstract. We like to think it is. It's actually kind of scary if you think about it. That every moment of the day, he is with me and knows even what I'm going to say before I say it. And his presence is revealed in our love. That's pretty powerful. Here's the third thing. Here's what he says. Again, look at what he says. Land of verse 12. And his love is perfected in us. Perfected also means completed. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. We are completed in love because of our relationship with God. When you have a relationship with the God who is within you, love, first of all, is the basis of your relationship with him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'll give you an example, okay? Think back to when you met your sweetie, okay, years ago. How did that affect you? So I'll talk about Lori and I, okay? In the youth office where I worked at Liberty University, I was kind of a grumpy guy, okay? And I remember when Lori and I started dating, Lori even had people come up, are you dating George? How can you do that? He's grumpy, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you something. It was my interaction with her that made me be able to be around other people. It affected me so that she brought a joy, so joy came out of my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Happiness came out of my life. Love came out of my life. It's the same thing. So when you have this relationship with God, and it's based on love. Love that he has for you. Love that you have for him because he accepts you for who you are in spite of who you are. It flows out of you. It flows out of you towards others. This is what he's saying. We are completed because of our relationship with God. Let's go on. He's going to talk about something more here. He's going to talk about the whole issue of God's presence. Look with me at verse 13 and 14 so that, we understand what this presence is. Here's what he says, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be Savior of the world. Okay, so two things here about God's presence. So here it is. The presence of the Holy Spirit reveals our mutual relationship with God. The presence of the Spirit reveals you have a relationship with God. God is within you. You say, now how can I know that, George? Well, there's a lot of ways you can know it. So for instance, one of the times that we think God has left us is when we're in the midst of sin, right? When we've gone off and done something that we're not supposed to do. And what I want to tell you is that when you are under conviction because of what you have done, that's because someone's within you. And he hadn't left you. In fact, he's the one telling you what you did wrong. He's convicting you. And trust me, he will. And I think you know that, right? And when you go through those times of conviction, the last thing you need to be thinking is, where are you, God? You've abandoned me because of this stuff I'm doing. No, 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 no. He hadn't abandoned you. The reason you are sensitive to your sin in your life is because of who convicting you. Do you understand? You just didn't decide on your own that you were convicted about whatever. It's because of the presence of God in your life through the Holy Spirit. He reveals our mutual relationship. So for instance, remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. You guys know what anxiety is? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, it's been so many times that I have gone to him. It was even just this week. I went to him. I was so bothered. And I had to go for a ride, and I had to just be honest with my God and talk to him. Just, blah, Lord, here it is, God. Let me tell you, the rest of the day, I didn't notice it at first, but I sure did notice it about 2 hours later. I was like, whoa. Wow, God, I'm at peace. I should have just been talking to you the whole time, shouldn't I, Lord? The anxiety, the fear was gone. But my trust in you is there, my faith. Isn't that awesome? It's the Spirit who gives us that peace. It's the Spirit who calms us. You know what it's like when you had a child who's sick and they're nervous and they're wondering what's going on and they're anxious until mom or dad comes by and holds their hand and says to them, it's going to be okay, sweetie. It's going to be okay. And then they feel at ease because why? Mom and dad is there, right? This is what I'm trying to tell you. It isn't just through conviction. It's the presence of God is known in our lives because of the Spirit makes it known to us. Here's the second thing. His presence in our lives reveals that God sent his Son as our Savior. Look at what he says there in verse 14. He says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. When you go through things and the presence of God is there, can I be honest with you? You cannot tell me that when I am in the midst of anxiety and I go to him and he gives me a peace that passes all understanding, you can't tell me that God doesn't exist and that Jesus didn't die for me. His Spirit gives me the ability to understand that what I have faith in. Because he abides with me. I have a relationship with him. Now, can I be honest with you? I just encourage you because it's the new year. Like, okay, don't set a resolution. Just do it. Spend time in God's word. Can I be honest with you? Why are we pushing that with you? Why don't we do prayer focus cards, which we'll start that back up on the 8th. Of January. Why do we do that? Why do we want to encourage you to pray? Why do we want you to read? Because you need to cultivate that relationship with the God who is within you. You need to spend time talking to him, reading his word, letting him speak to you. It's because of the presence of God. There's one final thing he's going to point out here. So it's about the impact. What kind of impact is this going to have in our lives? Well, look at what he says, verse 15 and 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. All right, so three things. Okay, here it is. First of all, our mutual relationship with God moves us to confess that Jesus, confess Jesus as the Son of God. It's because, can I be honest with you? The reason I can say to you that Jesus is the Son of God is not because I took so many theology courses and that's what they taught me. It's not because, first of all, I didn't because I didn't go to church as a child. It's not because for some of you that the Sunday school teacher told you it's Jesus, the Son of God. It's not because of some confessional statements hundreds of years ago in the church, creedal statements about him being the Son of God. It's not that that convinces me that he's the Son of God. What convinces me that he's the Son of God is that I see him working in my life in accordance with his word. And by faith, because of that, I say, okay, Lord, you died for me. You are the Son. You gave your life for me. That's the impact of his presence within me. It's his presence within me that helps me to be strengthened in my faith. Here's the second thing, okay? Our mutual relationship allows us to experience God's love. Look again, verse 16. Here's what he says. Verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. See, it's through the ability that God coming into our lives and that mutual relationship and love, that allows me to experience his love. All right, so let me just stop. Let me talk about it practically here, okay? When would you say are the times when we don't feel loved? Anybody? When do you think it is that we don't feel loved by God? Don't hesitate. Somebody speak up because probably everybody else is thinking the same thing. They're just worried about saying out loud. What do you think it is? All right, when we sin, okay? When we sin, okay, that's one reason. Anybody else got another reason? What's that, Lord? When we feel he's silent, we don't hear from him. He's not answering prayers. He's not showing me anything in his word. There's silence. When we feel silence, okay, all right, I heard somebody else. Okay, when we don't get what we want, like we prayed. Okay, Lord, I prayed, and you said whatever I asked, you would give me, and it's not happening. Okay? So then you think that he doesn't love us. Here's what I want you to see. The ability to know him comes from the relationship. And I just need to keep pursuing it because that love flows out whether I realize it or not. So for instance, let me tell you something. I know because, you know, I was raised in the home of a disciplinarian, okay? And there were times I questioned whether or not my daddy loved me because he was wearing out my end a lot. And I know that I was really perturbing him with my behavior. But I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved me because that love never changed. I may not have realized it, may not have known it, he loved me. Now, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's like I'm a parent, I have children, they do things that irritate me and they are aware that it irritates me, but my love hasn't changed, right? They don't think that I love them in that moment, or we don't think that our parents love us in that moment, but the fact is they do. It's the same thing with the Lord. His love is consistent. The fact that he's within you, even in spite of you, is love. Isn't that awesome? One final thing. Look here. Again, verse 16. Love is the essence of our mutual relationship with God. Now, when I say mutual relationship, I'm not talking about you and I together with God. I'm talking about you and God. That's mutual. It's interactive. But the problem is for a lot of us, our concept of the Holy Spirit, it's so warped, or we aren't even aware, we operate out of ignorance. We don't even know that we can have this mutual interactive relationship with the Spirit right now. In fact, for some of you, it is right now. He's talking to you right now. He's showing you something. He's speaking to you. He's giving you peace. And love is the essence of that. See, okay, George, what do we do with this? Okay, well, I guess I need to stress to you the one thing that comes out of this, okay? If you want to wrap it all up, especially as we look into 2025, what needs to be the most important thing for you and I? Love one another. Let the love of God that is there flow out of your hearts towards others. What, you mean I'm supposed to be feely about it with everybody, George? No. God, when he talks about love, he also talks about it earlier. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. You do what he's called you to do. Okay? Love one another. It's practical. Don't say you love someone, but you're not going to help them. You'll come in contact with people that you can express love to every day simply because you can be there for them and help them through something. That's love, not words. Talk is cheap, right? But actions express it. And the reality is that you say, well, I don't know that I can do that. You're right, you can't do it. But there's somebody within you that will flow love out of you. And that's the God who lives in each and every one of us who are believers. So be a conduit of love in your homes, in your relationships, in our church, in our community. That's what John is getting to in this letter. Something for you and I to think about. Let's pray.